Before we get to the film, though, which I know you guys are all very excited about, let's talk about our favorite sponsor. Don't tell anyone else. Feels Premium CBD is our sponsor this week. And yes, they are our favorite, F-E-A-L-S, Feels. Anderson, you and I are enjoying this product, so at least for me, on a nightly basis.
Yeah, we take it for different reasons, too. Like I've said, I like to take it when I feel a little on edge, a little bit, you know, like looking over my shoulder, and I just don't feel right with the world, and it kind of calms me down, and you take it to just get to sleep.
That's true, and it helps. It's a very mild sedative, and obviously not addicting or habit-forming. It's a very easy, mild on your system. I've experienced no side effects. Start feeling better with Feels, you guys. Become a member today by going to feels.com/TFE and get 50% off your order, your first order, with free shipping. That's feals.com/TFE. That's a lot of letters, but hopefully you guys can keep up. Feels.com/TFE to become a member. Get 50% automatically taken off your first order with that free shipping. That's feals.com/TFE. Welcome everyone to the Film Vault. That is me. So I'm Ryan Bishop. We're going to review some films today. We were assigned Lux Aeterna. I was assigned Lux Aeterna. Actually, I don't think I was.
You were not.
I volitionally watched that shit. Suspiria. Matt Brickner, you got some fucking explaining to do.
2018.
And also, Avery, write this down in the headline, bold letters. I have seen the new Adam Sandler film, Hustle. And I'll be talking about that.
Mm-hmm. How many dinosaurs are in that one?
Yes.
Almost none. Oh, Adam Sandler himself. Yeah, Robert Duvall's in it, so you know your mind is very.
What's this shit called?
Hustle.
You're not aware of Hustle? Splathered all over Netflix.
You need to be half ashamed. It's about basketball.
Which side?
That's up to you.
Brian.
What's that?
I don't understand. I don't know how to like respond to that.
Then don't.
I won't. Not gonna. Hey, how you been?
You know what? Pretty good.
You look all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a haircut.
Yes, I
do. Do it yourself.
I did not. That's really? It's very insulting that you would suggest such a thing, though.
That's telling
that. I'm surprised.
You understand that.
Telling Anderson he looks very Gen 5.
Oh, Gen 5.
Yeah, right. I always look military right after my hair is cut. And my haircut was...
I cut my own hair every couple of days.
Very funny, Brian.
I do.
Very funny. So funny.
I buzz my head every 2 days.
It's unbelievable. That's really cool.
I didn't do it today. Yesterday was head buzzing day.
Okay. Hey, can we... was it infusion day today? Because it seems like it might have been.
That was a week ago. No, okay. I got no infusions today.
Let's talk
movies. I'm excited to see you, buddy.
Let's get into it. I started that whole like exchange, and then you just insulted me with like a nice self haircut. You know who cuts their own hair?
Me.
Simple Jack. You're suggesting that I look like Simple Jack, and I don't appreciate that, Brian.
Never go full hairstylist.
Mm-hmm. See what he did there. It's pretty good.
Coming up later this week, top 5 mouth-watering beer scenes assigned by none other than Brian McCauley. Sorry, the mouse died.
McCauley. McCauley.
Is it McCauley?
I said everyone's name.
McCauley.
It's McCauley. Yeah. I realize that when I spell it, when I write it out, I'm like, and Brian McCauley is one of our greatest. And Tyler
Meyer.
It's Meyer. It's like Oscar Meyer. Yeah. So a couple of our biggest supporters,
Meyerlands.
I've been butchering their last names for years. So that just shows what great supporters they are. They don't give a fuck that I'm sure they're not happy about it, but it's Brian McCauley. I talked to a better Brian. I just refer to him as better Brian.
What about Brian Porter?
He's best Brian. But he spells it with an I. So
can I at least be a good Brian?
You and Brian. No, you can't be. I'm sorry.
Fine Brian.
Decent Brian. Possible, Brian? Barely possible.
What would it be?
Barely. B for B. B for barely. Barely passable,
Brian. Barely passable. Yeah, barely, Brian.
I'll take
barely
it.
Passable, Brian. But yeah, better Brian. Brian McCauley. I spoke with him earlier today, as I do every time you know it's time for a person's topic or their movie of choice to be Flickfest. And it was an enjoyable conversation. I also talked to Matt Rixner from the gym. I was at the gym wailing on my pecs when I talked to Matt. Felt very homoerotic, I gotta say. No, we talked about Suspiria And he was a little disappointed in what I had to talk about. Suspiria, however.
He's going to be really disappointed when I start to talk.
Now, I don't think he'll be surprised at all.
Okay.
I really don't. But I'm excited to talk about Suspirias with you, Brian.
I've not seen the original. Mm. So I wouldn't know. Is Brian, I'm going to go on a limb here that always ends badly for me. Is Brian McCulley the same dude who lived in Las Vegas and offered to put gambling money down on?
No.
That
no.
is McAllister. Oh, that's, how dare you?
Sergeant McAllister.
I was way off.
All right, can we get right into it? Because Brian and I have been together today for too long already. I got here
about an hour and a half into this shit.
Hour and a half ago, and per usual, I was enraged soon after entering his abode.
Well, you're you.
And then I explain all this on a video, which we shot at Film Vault Studios here.
Thank God that's never going to see the light of day.
And I think it will, because I've been promising it. But what we did was we watched a couple of my favorite shorts from last week's episode, my number one and my number two. We watched I Live in the Woods. And then we followed it up with Pearl.
Very different.
Yes. And I don't know if a left turn has been such a whiplash
jarring left turn
has ever happened in Film Vault history. And I didn't become a puddle like I did the first time and a half that I watched Pearl, but it did affect me. It didn't affect the cold-hearted Brian at all, which I was a little bit surprised by.
I know. I was expecting a more, maybe you built it up.
But I'm a little concerned about releasing it to our $10 and above, just as a thank you. That's what I want to do for the people that are watching us watch movies. This month we'll be watching Scanners, which will be a fun watch.
Oh yeah,
we'll be doing that next week and releasing that to everyone who is at the $10, and we can all watch that one together. But I also wanted to do a little not live, but watch these shorts. But is it exhibitionism, because I'm kind of getting emotional and whatnot? Is it
exploitative?
Yes, of myself.
Of yourself.
I'm afraid to look at it. I have not seen the video yet, but I'm afraid I'm going to have problems releasing it. But I feel like I've promised and I've got to this point, and I got to release it, especially if it's going to push people over the edge to watch these two shorts, which are both amazing in their own special ways.
I say release it. Release the Kraken.
All right. So it's a nice...
It's a nice little bonus content.
Nice for small audience too. It's exclusive, very exclusive.
I was about
small
to say,
audience.
Is this strictly for Patreon?
There's no way I would put this on YouTube. There's no way.
So how this is going to be sent out via Patreon? Like you're going to alert in your inbox saying,
"I'll have it privately listed, unlisted on a channel somewhere, and then I will."
This is
going to
get shared that way. We have very thriving social media.
Okay.
Thriving communities.
All right. Hey. See anything good? Why didn't you see the dinosaur movie? What's wrong with you? You're championing it last week. You're saying 77%. It's gonna be great.
Oh, 88. It was at 88.
I know.
No, 80.
No,
80.
Sorry, I my guess was 67.
No, I think it was at 88.
No, you said 77, and you were winning. I think it was at 88.
Because the Mitch Burns.
Maybe you said 67. Maybe you did.
I think I did. That sounds about right.
Either way, it was unseen by me.
It was initially 88%.
I value my time.
Dropped precipitously. Here's the problem. I actually had a ticket that I bought months ago, well, at least weeks, for the 5 p.m. showing on Thursday. The old Corolla show went long.
Oh, no one gives a fuck about any of this.
No, Brian, but this isn't please important.
Wow, no one cares about your goddamn schedule. Did you mention at the top, because you demand doing the intros, which you have for 10 plus years. Okay, well, maybe I should take over the intros here and there. Maybe I should. Did you just blow past the boys?
It's not on my sheet.
What the fuck, Avery?
It was just now. Resend it. No. I'll resend it.
You know what? I got Avery a gift that I promised him, that we promised him as a show.
Is it pink?
Back when Avery started the program, started semi-quasi-producing the program back in, November, December? When did you come on board?
I would say occasionally producing.
Occasionally.
I think it was December.
December.
It was the turn of the year.
Right around the time that we did our top five film gift lovers.
Avery
gifts
was
for the
here
film
for
lover.
The gift exchange.
So yes. That was Black Friday.
Easy. Buddy.
Right? That was right. That was things. That was November. So that was when I had, I think my number one or right up there was Movie Palette, which is that really, really cool art form where they take a movie. They have thousands on their site and they do color arrangements in order.
It looks like a mosaic.
Chronological order.
Yeah.
Lines. That,
each one representing a frame of the film or a scene of the film.
And they offered us a really good promo code for our listeners, which still exists today. So we'll put this is not an ad. This is just, business to business type stuff. They reached out to us via our email, our contact, when they learned that it was on our show and it was listed as something that we like. Mm. Same way that we found Tim Judd, who makes the lamps. which That's right. I give him a shout out every year. He was just, he happened to be a listener. I don't know how these guys found out about it, but Movie Palette did, and they offer a great promo code. So I finally got myself one, which I've been wanting to do for literally years since these guys got going. And that is proudly displayed.
What'd you
get? Right when you walk in my door, right to the right above the thermostat is this very modern looking, sleek, abstract art, right? Which does not vibe with any of my wife's classic shit, which she's all into
it
the old lady
in
shit.
Stark contrast.
I really like the stuff that my wife is into. I'm not just saying that. I've actually become keenly appreciative of it over the last few weeks, just in doing estate sales with her and for Addie's Antiques. And I'm learning this, like Pyrex bowls and the different, I'm actually appreciating it.
I almost bought something.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know about this almost thing, but yeah, I'm having a really good time. I'm learning how to hunt this the Pyrex.
He sent his best offer. Like, $20, say you're leaving.
But I did a little trick, right? Because I was getting obsessive on the Movie Palette, which is really fun to do because they have all of the movies available in alphabetical order.
It's fun to browse because you're like, seven. What did that
look like? I spent way too many
hours. Yeah, I spent at my old job, an entire working day just going through all the options.
If I had a job and a 9 to 5, I definitely would have gone through. About halfway point, I'm like, you know what? What am I doing? I'm just, she's not going to like
go
it.
On forever.
I got to manipulate the situation if I have any chance of having this up in the house anywhere, let alone in the foyer.
It's good.
Foyer, Brian. You don't
foyer.
Like that word.
No, I know. I like foyer. I don't like foyer.
Foyer. It's in the foyer. I'm going to switch over to foyer.
Oh, come on, man.
And I got myself a little Finding Nemo.
It's colorful, bright, vivid.
First date we ever had. I took her to Finding Nemo.
Oh, bulletproof.
Look at that.
Yeah, bulletproof. So she's like, what is that?
I said, commemorates our love.
It's a movie, honey. And she's like, yeah, okay. Where do you want to put that? I'm like, I want to put it right in the front in the foyer. And she said, well, I don't think that it's going to go there. I'm like, honey.
And stop calling it a foyer. You're not a fucking
rube. Started tearing up a little. I'm like, it's Finding Nemo. And she's like, oh, honey. And then she never said yes or no, but it sits, it's on the wall. It's there.
Gotcha.
So then as a welcome gift, I offered Avery. I said, well, Avery, what would you like if I got you one of these with a promo code or it wouldn't hurt so much? And he said, Little Lion King.
Oh, it's all about fucking out.
And I finally.
There we go.
I finally. I don't know if that's upside down because I didn't get the.
No, all the way around. You had it right first time.
Right?
Because that's.
Oh, yeah. You can see scar.
That's the fire at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's sharp.
Pretty good, right?
Good one.
The animated ones are a little more colorful. I do a little imagine. But there's some really, really good ones out there. The black and white ones are interesting, too.
Yeah. They've got everything. They've got everything from Citizen Kane to Paul Blart.
And if they don't have it, you just tell them. You tell them the movie, and they will make one, and then they'll add that to the collection. So they have a computer program, obviously. They feed a movie through it, and they get it done.
I didn't know you could do a little bespoke.
Speaking of which, can I tell you something that's going to enrage you? I reached out to the Movie Palette guys. And I said, hey. I'm working on a documentary.
No, you
when
did
that
not
documentary
do this.
Comes out, you know, I'd love to be able to
you
offer
did
our
not
listeners.
Do this.
Oh, I absolutely did,
Brian. It's a document. Is it a colorful documentary?
It will be. It will be now.
I mean, what?
How exciting
it
is that?
It didn't even occur
There's
to me.
There's going
to
be a movie palette of my movie.
It's a question about groupers until
well, that's,
just now.
That's
never
your
even,
show, that's
never
your
even
show.
Occurred to me.
That's because your, that's
you need
your
groupers
show
in the garage.
I don't. I'm so tired of groupers. But Brian, what in the fuck?
How great is that going to be? That's, and by the way, it might time well with the gift exchange for 2023.
I'm just imagining Brian photoshopping his face onto it because it's not clear enough. Yeah.
The mosaic, you stand back, it's one of those like 3D things where you're a little cross-eyed. You see a bald head
it's
floating.
It's a lot to be available soon.
You're not getting a cut or anything, are you?
What do you mean?
Oh, what do you mean? Look at you.
Oh, no, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Well, he haven't worked that out yet.
Documentary? I don't think they have documentaries on there because they don't really lend
look
themselves to this kind of
art. This will be the first.
If they had a documentary, what would it be? Like Fahrenheit 9/11?
You know, this is interesting. They're all uniform in shape. However, movies are short and movies are long.
It's true.
You'd think that the longer the movie.
Yeah, look up like
Showa would
Arabia.
Be.
A show. Hey.
Showa would be like that border.
Hey, Harvey, what's that on your wall? Oh, it's commemorating a movie that's very important to me.
Well, Young cancer movie, young cancer documentary or show. I mean, they're kind of in the same ballpark.
That's true. You know what? They're very serious.
Auschwitz and young people dying of cancer.
Very serious subjects.
Both serious subjects.
I'm actually dying to know if they have any documentaries.
Wait, so who'd you talk to over there? Mark? You talked to Mark over there?
I'd have to.
It's all right. You don't even remember who greenlit your ridiculous idea?
This was probably in December. when we first had it on our lists.
That was the first place your mind went. Is it not? I want somebody's great movie on my wall. I have a movie that isn't even halfway done yet. I need this to be made into a PAL.
It's halfway done.
Oh my God, right. Right now, if they made one, it'd be a square.
One frame?
No, it would be. It's very widescreen.
Do they have any documentaries?
No, but they do have TV shows.
Boo.
You can submit your own TV shows. Look at this.
They have web series.
They got it lined up.
Oh, that's interesting.
So
turn a corner.
If you're interested in The Boys, they got it half off right now. You submit your own show, they'll do it for you.
I'll be talking about The Boys.
Each one's a
season? Yeah. Each one's an episode. So you can get your favorite season.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's get to it.
Not bad.
Let's talk
some fan fiction.
What do we do? Yeah, let's do fan fiction.
From compiled by The Bitch Murns.
Easy, buddy.
First one starts. This is from Mitch. He's doing our job for us. After years of waiting for the finale in the Jurassic World franchise.
Are we sure it's the finale?
I'm sure it was.
I feel like some dinosaurs fucked somewhere in this last one and they're going to spawn something new.
It came.
So to speak.
My family loves the Jurassic franchise and have seen every Jurassic World movie together in theaters. 9 of us went. Jesus, I was able to bring my 2 boys. We all enjoyed it. I've seen it twice now.
Mitch.
Although I think I was going to like it no matter what. Mm. I see why everyone hates it. And if you're not interested, just skip it. I'll pass it over to Eric Holmes so he can give us his unbiased, nostalgia-free thoughts.
Is he throwing it via text?
I think you need to turn yourself up.
Yeah, a little more. There we go.
I disagree.
He's echoing on. He's coming.
Yeah, a little bit. There we go. Yeah. There we go. Eric Holmes on Facebook.
Oh, ham slime.
I endured all 7 hours of Jurassic World Dominion and not once in all 15 hours of that long, boring 23-hour movie did they have anything as cool as the first 5 minutes. God damn it, Brian. That was advertised and completely excised from that 56-hour-long sleeping pill.
Wait, with the first... I missed that because Brian was fucking with your levels being cued over there.
I'm not being cued. I'm trying to fix things.
Wait, what was Eric's point?
The only good thing, apparently, was the first 5 minutes that was advertised, and that is it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what part was the 5 minutes that was supposed to be good. I don't know if that was him in the snow and the Velociraptor mom was pleading with him to... who knows?
When I saw the hunting on the horseback, I'm just like, I can't. I just cannot.
So to finish my thought from earlier, I missed my showtime. No big deal. It's Thursday afternoon when the movie comes out. I have plenty of
opportunity. Do you hear the words coming out of your
mouth? Plenty of opportunity to see it. And I thought about it really. I started thinking about it philosophically. And I'm like, why do I give a shit about this franchise that has let me down?
You're a completionist.
No, I'm not, though. That's the thing. I thought about that, and I was like, wait a
minute.
I didn't bother seeing Terminator Genesis. I didn't bother seeing Die Hard, whatever the last Die Hard was. Like, certain franchises. I didn't bother. I saw every episode of Entourage except for the last season. I bailed out. I'm like, this has let me down. I've nothing to gain from this at this point. And so I realized, like, no, I know when to bail out on things. And this is where I pulled the ripcord on Jurassic.
If you knew where to bail out, you would have bailed out.
That's
eight days ago, not like 6 days ago or whatever it was, because you announced on the show that you'd be going to see it.
I know. I was
excited to hear your
thoughts. I really don't know when to bail out, because I saw the last very bad Jurassic World, whatever, and it was not good. Mm-hmm. I realized I don't need that pain in my life.
Stopped being good a long time ago, Brian. And it was so good at first, but ever since Chris Pratt got involved, nothing against him, but it became like a whole different animal
with
Chris Pratt.
It was fine.
Well, as soon as they start training me, it's just too much.
Turn yourself down.
Stop training.
I would argue that the first Chris Pratt, Howard movie was above average. 3
Bryce
stars
Dallas,
is fine.
What are we doing? Are we flickfasting a movie from 20 years ago that has a new one out that we're not flickfasting? What's happening?
I feel like we just talked about it via Mitch Burns.
I will be watching this drunk when it is released on Peacock. Will Dennison on Facebook. I watched Dinner in America. Mm-hmm. I usually line up pretty well with Anderson, but he was selling it so hard, I went in ready to be disappointed.
Oh, no.
I was not feeling it at all in the beginning.
No, you were.
But holy shit. Socks are definitely blown off.
Fuck.
It's the tits.
Yes, that had me concerned. I don't want to oversell things. I get concerned about overselling things. And I knew I was going to do that with this one. And I've had the exact same feeling the first 15, 20 minutes. I liked some of the music choices, the score, but I wasn't really buying Kyle. And then I started buying Kyle, and then she got introduced, and then it was just bliss, pure bliss, Brian, pure bliss. Love that goddamn movie.
It's pretty good. I enjoyed it as well.
Okay.
S Fitz 0076 on Reddit. It's catchy. Hustle was really good. You knew where the story was going, Hustle, but the ride was fun.
Hustle is good.
I love this version of Adam Sandler. I wish you would do this more often. Also, NBA player Anthony Edwards was a great sports movie villain.
Huh.
I agree. You'll hear more about that in a moment.
You don't want to get into it? You don't want to get into a little Hustle?
Is that the last?
That's the last
one. Oh, I didn't realize.
Let's just dovetail right in the Hustle.
I didn't realize that was the last one. Hustle was seen by me earlier this week. It is a 2022 film directed by Jeremiah Zagger. It stars Adam Sandler, Juancho Hernan Gomez, Queen Latifah, Ben Foster, who we love so much, Kenny Smith, Jaleel White, Steve Urkel's in this, and Robert Duvall, and the aforementioned Anthony Edwards. What is it? Is Anthony Edwards? I didn't write it down.
Anthony Edwards.
That's what I thought. I don't want to get confused with Goose. 93% of Rotten Tomatoes. This is streaming on Netflix. Adam Sandler plays a scout for the Philadelphia 76ers. Anderson, that is a National Basketball Association franchise. He is the beloved employee slash de facto son of Robert Duvall, who says to him, I'm gonna move you. I know you hate scouts. He's a scout, right? So he travels all over the world. These days, you got to go all over the world. Scout, you got to the international players and leagues, et cetera, et cetera. And he's like, I know you hate the scouting, you know, life in a hotel, you know, all this stuff. I'm going to move you to the bench. You're going to coach next year. And
I feel a smack coming.
There's a smack coming.
I'm bracing myself.
Robert Duvall is unable to carry out his promise. And
the great Santorini.
Santini,
yeah. The basketball scene. Remember the basketball scene, the great Santini?
Oh, it was like a front yard hoop or something?
Yeah, with his son, and it got real uncomfortable because he's a real prick.
Oh, I forgot about that. Wow, way to bring it home, man. Well done.
I said Santorini, though. So
you did. I think Santorini's a restaurant down in...
Biffed it.
Isn't that the restaurant next to the shack down there
in
Playa del Rey? Santorini, the Italian place.
Was that the name of the place across the street from Westwood One? No, what was that place called? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Let's go. They used to have stand up there and dollar pitchers. It was great. All right, whatever. Let's go.
Oh yeah, in Culver City.
Yeah.
By Joxers.
No, it's way up from Joxers. Wait. Let's go. Jesus Christ, come on.
He's reviewing Hustle.
So Sandler plays a scout, and he's out. God, what is he even doing there? He's in Spain, and wouldn't you know it, he comes across a once-in-a-lifetime prospect.
Generational.
Well done. Prospect played by Juancho Hernan Gomez. Mm-hmm. Bo Cruz. They call him Boa, but the Boa Constrictor, the Cruz Missile. They're trying to find nicknames for him.
They're trying to find his brand.
It's a humorous running joke. He's constantly trying to find nicknames for the guy, and convinces him to come to America. He's gonna sign him to the Sixers, and wouldn't you know, he works out, and the shitty son, played by Ben Foster, who's now in charge, he doesn't want to sign him. He's like, no, we're good. And so Adam Sandler quits, and it's a lot of crossover with Jerry Maguire, as you can imagine. Sandler basically quits, takes this kid under his wing, becomes his agent. I was going to say de facto agent, but it's really his agent, and trains him for the draft, for the combine, as it were, the skills combine leading up to the draft. And we see a lot of one-on-one. We see a lot of drills. It's solid. I wouldn't say spectacular. It was originally supposed to be set in China. Oh. It's apparently Netflix does not do business. I didn't realize all these layers to China. And apparently Netflix doesn't do business with China. So like, no, we're financing this film, so you're going to change it to Spain or some other place, which is what they did.
Hey, this lead guy who's the phenom, is he an actual NBA player?
He is.
Juancho.
I don't know. I don't know much about him. I'm a casual NBA fan, so I'm not super steeped.
Oh, is that because you're little golden retrievers aren't doing so hot these days? So. You're such a fucking front runner. You make me nauseous. You were so down with NBA just a few years ago when the golden retrievers were like,
I know, if they were doing better, I'd probably be following them right now. I mean, if they were in the finals up 3-1 over the Celtics.
Oh, they are.
They're literally about to win the championship.
I'm sorry. I take back everything that just happened.
I was going to let you go for a little while.
Excise. Well, how are you not into it anymore? When you're such a...
I'm very much into the Warriors and the Western Conference and the teams they play, the contenders. Less so with some of the... I don't think Juancho plays
you don't
a
know,
ton.
You don't know much about the rest of the league.
Juancho doesn't play a ton.
He's too busy acting.
He's a pretty solid actor. I would say he's... I mean, on the one hand, he's like a little short on charisma. On the other hand, he's a fucking 7 foot tall Spanish basketball player. So what the fuck do you want from this guy? Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is the real star. Like he steals the show. He's the other, he plays in the film.
Kermit.
He plays Kermit. In fact, Sandler goes, don't worry about him. He's named after a Muppet. Which I don't know if that's
a great line.
I don't know if
very funny line.
I don't know if that translates to the Spanish.
I feel like that's the line that they actually probably came up with first, and then they built the entire movie around it.
Oh, that was the genesis, the whole thing.
That's how good that line is.
That'd be crazy. Yeah. I will say that Anthony Edwards is fantastic. He steals the show. He's the villain. He's like the presumptive number one or number two draft pick. So he's got a lot of swagger, and he throws it around, and he torments our hero, Bo Cruz. He torments poor Bo.
Plays a good heel, is what you're saying.
Plays a great heel. The movie's got a lot of crossover with Jerry Maguire, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. The basketball scenes, weirdly enough, are just okay. Mm-hmm. They're not spectacular, and honestly... That was kind of the weakest part of the movie with some of the basketball stuff, because it's really Juancho as Bo. He's a giant man. I think in the movie, they're trying to make him out to be a 7 footer. He's just swatting. He's playing one-on-one street ball for the most part, or, you know, pick up 3-on-3 or whatever. Right. He's mostly just swatting lazy layup attempts from much smaller guys. It's like, okay, I know the audience you're going for may not be that educated in basketball, but this is not that impressive. I mean, it'd be like me throwing up a hook shot.
No, it is, because it is? I've seen people react to basketball and they freak the fuck out if somebody swats a ball.
Yeah, but that's in a professional setting. I'm talking about in this pickup game.
When kids like take a water bottle and they flip it and it lands, people lose their shit. It's unbelievable to people, yeah. I wish I had that kind of brain that could be that excited about a bottle of landing. That'd be so much fun to be able to just look at that and be excited. Not have to search for things.
It's actually remarkably easy. If there's like, you know, a third of the thing is full or a quarter or whatever, it's like, yeah, that's how it should land.
All right. Anything else about this three-star movie?
Hustle, three-star movie. Fun. If you love Sandler and or basketball, it's not as good as Uncut Gems, for example.
Was it better or worse than Teen Wolf?
Apples and oranges, my friend. No, it's objectively a better film. Enjoyable? Who's to say?
Oh, really? You enjoyed the Teen Wolf?
Of course I enjoyed Teen Wolf. I was fucking 6 years old.
I love the idea of Teen Wolf just because Timmy, from my middle school days, he had Down syndrome, and he loved Teen Wolf, and he would dress up like Teen Wolf even when it wasn't Halloween, and I fucking love that kid.
That's amazing.
And he was the best. And on actual Halloween, like, he dressed up like full-on Teen Wolf. Like, you couldn't recognize Timmy
with the fur?
Yeah, everything coming out. He was wearing the suit. That's what I think of when I think of Teen Wolf. I don't think of the abortion of the movie.
I don't know how old I was when I saw it. Probably 7 or 8.
You probably thought it was great.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And now watching as an adult, I see certain cracks in the armor.
That's when he bought his first Golden State jersey.
Oh, also that's yellow.
What threw you down the rabbit hole. All right, let's get to the listener assigned movie this week, which was from Matt Rickster, who Matt's assigned his movies in the past. Matt is a very generous contributor to the program, continues to be. And I said this to Matt, because it's funny when people, when the listeners assign us movies and then they're not huge hits with URI. Mickey and Nikki was the last movie that he assigned us. He also assigned us RKO 281, which we both enjoyed. Yeah. I call that the good Mank. The good Mank, yeah. They're much more enjoyable. It goes down way smoother.
What about, I thought it was, is it Mike and Mikey?
It's Mickey and Nikki.
Oh, Mickey and, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, Mickey and Nikki. I think, right? Mikey and Nikki. Ah, Christ. It's M-I-K-E-Y. It's Peter Falk and Nikki, all right? So when people assign us movies and we don't love them, it's okay. And let me tell you about Suspiria. Suspiria is one of those movies that has been bothering me for quite some time, bro.
It bothered me for 2.5 hours.
It's probably top 15, 20 movies that are like a leak in the house.
You're talking about the original.
I'm talking about the both.
Oh.
So, like, I have a leaky faucet in my shower, and it's been that way since I moved in, and it's like one of those things I'm going to get to.
Some Teflon tape.
I'm going to get to it. It's the bushings inside. It's been cranked down too much, and now we're making it worse by cranking it, you know. Sure. So, and I'm going to fix it one of these days. And it's going to be very soon. But what would be foolish is to just fix the hot water, which is where the problem is,
right,
and not go after the cold.
Do the whole thing.
So I watched the 2018 Suspiria, and I realized after watching it that I wouldn't be able to talk about it effectively.
Look at you.
Without watching the original. So I moved some things around, canceled some sleep hours that I had set aside, and watched the original as well.
You RSVP'd no to sleep?
I did. Let sleep know that I wasn't coming. Sandman, sorry, I got to cancel on you. So, yeah,
I saw the Sandman.
I'm pushing next week. And let's talk Suspiria so I can talk about it a little bit more effectively.
One of them I've not seen.
With both of them.
Suspiria is a 2018 film directed by Luca Guadagnino. This is his follow-up to Call Me By Your Name.
Did you see that peach fucking movie?
I don't think I did.
Oh, what do you mean? Nectarines? What are they fucking there? I think it's peaches.
In what movie?
Call Me By Your Name.
Of course I saw it.
You don't remember the peach fucking?
Kind of.
What?
Wait, are they actually?
He finished
fucking
in the peach, and then he left it on the on the nightstand.
Left it on the
upsetting.
Someone eat it?
That's the question.
That's the implication.
Somebody, I think I've said this before, but somebody wanted to make a short movie entirely about the peach. A friend of mine said, "I'm going to write a short film just about the peach," and it's just always like the people in the room don't know, but the audience knows what's going on with the peach, and we're all just concerned as an audience that someone's going to eat that peach. Very concerned. All right.
Starring Dakota Johnson and Tilda Swinton, this is a 65% Rotten Tomatoes score, streaming on Prime Video. Is that correct? That's what I have. I have
yes.
Prime
yeah,
Video.
Sure, 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 sure.
Remake of the 1977 film, which none of us have seen. I kept thinking, and now I've branded this film. I'm into branding. I've branded this film on Boring Black Swan.
So that's interesting you say Black Swan, because it is definitely Black Swan influenced. And I would say it's as influenced by Black Swan as it is by the original 1977 Dario Argento's Suspiria.
Oh, shit, I've seen this.
The remake or the original?
The remake, the new one. I totally forgot about it. Yeah.
He totally forgot about
this
it.
This is insane. How do you see the photo?
I mean,
because okay. this was over quarantine, bless you, where we literally watched a movie a day for like 180 days in a row.
Okay.
So it was a complete overload, but I remember.
Yeah, so sometimes that's why I don't like the idea of festivals and critics going and watching 3 to 5 movies in a day and then
show some respect.
Reviewing them. So yes, Suspiria, the remake by Luca.
Call Me By Your Luca.
That is a joke that we had on this program for a while. Oh yeah, of course you saw Call Me By Your Name. All right, the remake, he did it in 6 parts. He essentially added an hour to the original, and he also has an epilogue. And he took a lot of liberties. And it's interesting you say Black Swan, Brian, because I think that was as much of an influence, like I said, as was the original. These movies, the original and the new one, are very different, which is fine. Reinventing is fine. But I got the sense, especially after watching the original, that Luca was less about paying tribute to Dario Argento, who is a blind spot for me. I'm not a big horror fan, especially the giallo, I believe it's called the Italian horror. It's just not really for me. So it's a blind spot. But I get the feeling that Luca was more interested in putting his own spin on this and kind of doing it better.
I lived in an apartment for 8 years surrounded by Italian horror films. Right. I never once dived in.
You never once even dipped your toe?
Never once even considered. There were a couple of times where I'd walk in and my Italian friend Alessandro would be watching.
Do you not like him?
I like him quite a bit.
Do you not respect him?
Well, I love the man.
Do you respect him?
Of course.
Wouldn't you be kind of at least curious as to like what gets him going and why he likes it so much?
You'd think so.
You're too busy like thinking about making a documentary about yourself and then getting a palette made of that documentary.
At that time, it was only a vague notion.
I'm too mean to you and I need to back off.
Suspiria.
So yeah, act one is an
I got to point out that amazingly, and you know how these things are semi-unreliable, but apparently Natalie Portman and David Gordon Green were initially attached.
David Gordon Green?
I'm just telling you.
That would have been like rehash, wouldn't it?
Well, okay, Suspiria 1977, the acting is the weakest part of the movie.
We're talking about 2018.
Without naming names. The acting is pretty goddamn phenomenal in Suspiria, right? You got some heavy hitters there. David Gordon Green would have dragged all of that down because he's just not an actor. He's a director. And I think that that was proven to us when we saw him.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he was going to star in it. He was attached to
direct. Oh, he's direct.
Oh, you thought, oh, yeah, direct. Yeah,
I mean, we saw him in the Massive Talent with the Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, that's right.
And he was stiff. He wasn't a good, he wasn't an actor.
Which one was he?
He was the guy that he read for in the beginning. He met him at the Chateau Marmont. Yeah.
Marmont.
All right.
Cold read.
So, yes. And I could be wrong. Luca might be a huge fan, but now that I'm hearing that he came along after David Gordon Green was already attached, and that it sounds like maybe it was just a job, and he was trying to outdo this cult classic in Suspiria, the original, which I understand how that could be a cult classic after seeing it, because the 1977 version is very, very colorful, and I'd heard that before. Matt Rixner had seen the original too, and he was telling me that it was very colorful, and that's all he really remembered. I was afraid that they were doing it with lighting and whatnot, but mainly it was the sets were phenomenal in the original Suspiria. Like,
I also read that the original was a stark contrast to this. Is very vibrant.
Yes, very, very vibrant, and more enjoyable to watch, honestly. However, both are really heavy on style and not a whole lot going on as far as story goes. So there's this underlying subtext about Berlin and about politics, much of which was probably lost on the average viewer, myself included. So it's mainly about hijackers and witches through and through, back and forth. And there is a scene in the middle of Suspiria 2018. For those of you who've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, unless you're Avery, because he doesn't remember. But there's a dance scene that is like
a lot of dance scenes,
nothing I'd ever seen before. And we just did recently top five dance scenes, and there's no question that Suspiria 2018 dance scene would be on my list.
Really?
It was the most horrific thing I've seen involving dance.
Wait, are you talking about the group?
When Dakota Johnson is upstairs doing her number, and it's being kind of like us underneath, if that makes sense. It's being mimicked. Did you not watch the movie?
No, man? I did. I'm glad you mentioned. You sparked a thought when you said us. So I'm gonna tell you something.
You know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah. She's like rehearsing.
A contortionist was obviously hired for this role. And
oh,
what
that
in the
scene.
Fuck, Brian?
So I thought you meant it was a group scene for some reason.
It's the most memorable thing in the whole movie.
It really was. And I wrote down here. Wait.
Why you gotta always preface it with "Here's what I wrote while watching"? Why can't you just like flow it into the conversation, Brian? And then search for it.
And now I gotta look
this
for it.
This is grueling.
God damn it.
You know what goes down smoother than you reviewing Suspiria is Suspiria.
Oh, I said, I haven't seen a girl pretzel like that since It Follows.
Mm. It Follows. You could also gone with Old.
Oh, Old. Yeah. True.
No, this is better than both of those.
Pretzel
this,
girl.
Do you remember?
Were they in the red?
No. It was one a different girl number. Alone. One girl alone.
There was one girl who had been cast off, and she was being difficult, right? She was questioning, what's her name?
The Methods. Tilda.
Tilda.
Tilda Swinton, who was, what was her? Blank.
The dance
Blank.
Leader.
Blanca.
Blanc.
Blanc. And, so they're witches. I mean, I'm not giving too much away here.
No, it's in the description.
Pretty quickly, you learn that they're witches, and we get it from Chloe Moretz, who at one point is talking to her therapist early in the movie and says that they're going to scoop me out my insides and eat my cunt on a plate or something. Just horrific like that. it was terrible. But yeah, so there's one dancer. She questions the head witch, and she does not do well after that. Mm. Because there is some kind of spell,
some
almost
force.
I think it's
connected to a dance.
Yeah.
So she's like downstairs in another room, and all of the moves
that
Dakota Johnson.
That was by far the most spectacular scene.
It was a spectacular scene. It was exactly that. Yeah. Hard to watch, not enjoyable, not something I'd want to sit down and watch with my mom on Mom's Day, but something that I would watch again, probably.
Hey, Father's Day is coming up. You're
in
Atticus.
In the right mood. Hey, honey, all I want for Father's Day is you to watch this horrific scene with me. She'd be so pissed. She'd be so bad. But yeah, and then by the time, and I'm like, how is he going to outdo this? Because
he doesn't.
It's six acts, which I always like knowing where I am
six
in a movie.
Six chapters.
They say acts. So act one is 1977, which is a throwback to the original movie, 1977. And then there's act two, which is something else. And by the time they get to the end, there's a lot of blood and gore. and they
it's
got
almost entirely blood.
Shades of the Kingsman's crescendo.
It's true.
But I did not like the style that he chose for
I
the
agree.
Shots,
I totally agree.
Which were like drop frame and choppy.
It felt like it was done after the fact to add some sort of gravitas.
That's exactly what I was telling Matt was, I don't know if they were trying to cover up from some lacking effects, or it's the kind of thing that I used to see in film school a lot of the time, where they would say, like, my fellow students would be like, oh, I really wish I shot that in slow motion, but I didn't. And they would just slow it down digitally and it just looked like hell. It was that kind of effect that, like, you can do on Final Cut or yeah. Adobe Premiere. It looked bad. It looked amateurish.
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. And then the movie, if I'm to be totally honest, looked pretty good for the first 2 hours.
Like, I thought
it was a well-shot film.
This guy can direct. There's no question about that. He moves the camera effortlessly. It's always flowing from one to the next. Like he did things in this that I thought were maybe throwbacks to the 77 film, which were like that panning zoom, which is very, any kind of zoom in lens movement, I fucking hate. It's very 70s. You might get a real taste of it later next week, Brian. But I watched the original and it didn't have nearly as much as the remake. So I don't know if he was just...
It was his own. I got the sense that it was his own thing, but I know what to compare it to.
I was never on the train for this, other than that one dance scene. I'm glad that I saw it. I'm glad that it's behind me.
And it was a spectacle. It was definitely something to behold.
It was, and it was ambitious at times, but mainly every time I'd hear anyone talk about Suspiria, it was just a giant, giant blind spot. Eric Holmes, friend of mine, he already gave that nice fanfiction of the Jurassic. Latest Jurassic. I asked him if I should see it, like, when it came out in theaters, and he's like, no, this is not an Anderson movie. That said, I'm glad that I have seen it now, and I know what people are talking about when they bring up Suspiria. It's just like, you know, so many movies that are... So Matt, I also, in talking to Matt Rixner, who assigned it, I said, I get it. It's tough. Like, we're like kind of like getting a present for that, you know, friend of yours or
sure.
who has everything, because we've seen so
and
many
everything,
movies.
Everything I don't have, I hate.
Yeah, so I know a lot of people don't sign up for the assigner level because they don't know what to assign us because they feel like we've seen a lot.
I will always appreciate Matt going out on a limb and trying assigning us a movie that maybe we wouldn't like. That's definitely opened up my eyes to a film I would not have ever volitionally seen. I will tell you this, Anderson. Years ago, I would have avoided saying this to you, but I feel like now we're far enough into the gambling / assigning that Either you should be smart enough to identify this, or I don't care and you can just run with this if you want. You assign me films that you think are going to torture me.
No, like, every now and again
I do. Every now and again, okay.
Yeah, I'm not all the time, know, not exclusively.
Don't. You don't, but you occasionally try to punish me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With, the with a Serbian film or
right,
a Martyrs.
Which you still owe me.
The point is, these horribly graphic films,
that's
these
right.
films, even like what was the Green Inferno that we saw? I don't mind these films. At least it's memorable. At least it's something like I can either laugh at or wince at.
Are you going to say Suspiria 2018's not?
What I'm going to say is Suspiria 2018 literally combines everything I hate about movies and the world. Like it's,
wow,
it's 2.5 hours.
Man, I don't remember Nazis.
2.5 hours of atmospheric dancing.
There
grotesque
were pedophiles in this?
Imagery. Wondering what's a dream and what's real. Radiohead, performance art,
oh,
interpretive
yeah,
dance,
Tom York did the
Dakota
score.
Johnson, and omnipresent rain. It's always fucking raining.
So?
And this movie it's was rough. Such a goddamn slog to get through. I was like, I would
apologize. I didn't see this coming, Matt.
For something like Martyrs or Serbian.
Dude, this thing was peppered with really good things. I totally pick up what you're putting down, but about every 5 to 10 minutes, there'd be something like, holy shit, that's really great. And this is not our cup of tea, but there's a lot of talent going on here for sure. Right. And here's something I did not realize until talking to Matt, but did you enjoy Tilda Swinton in all three of her roles?
I did. I only got the two. Was there a third role?
So wait, what are the two? Cause I didn't even realize that she was
the German professor.
I didn't know. I knew that. I can
was
tell
a professor
that
or an investigator.
I don't know. I just know she plays a male
he's
character.
She's like a psychiatrist.
Yeah. You see his dick at one point.
You do?
Yeah. I could tell that was an old man and a younger person in makeup.
Yes,
I didn't realize it was Tilda until after I'd seen the movie. And then she plays like the Jabba the Hutt witch towards the end.
Oh, that's her as well?
Yes.
Oh, I that's also heavy
evidently.
Makeup. I didn't realize that.
And then also in the original Suspiria, there was a blind guy that gets horribly abused and his dog ultimately... some really tragic stuff happens with him and his CNI dog, which was just never introduced in the 2.5 hour 2018 version, which I think that could have been effective. And also there's an amazing maggot scene, a scene with real life maggots falling from the ceiling in the original, which
I'm good.
I feel like as much interesting visuals got packed into the 1977 version as were in the 2.5 hour version of the 2018, two and a half hour version. So I'm glad that I saw both.
It's stretched out quite a bit.
I would say the original, while it is very old, it's probably was more interesting to me. But that's me.
Yeah, I'm afraid I didn't like this one. But
thank you very much, yeah, Matt, for getting this one on my list. Because like I said, it bugs me. It's one of the top probably 15, 20 movies that I hear about. I'm like, I need to see this, see what this is all about.
You know what we should do? Well, I don't think it's appropriate to give Matt a like a freebie, like another assigner. But what about like giving like half off, like 3 months?
No, we're not doing
that. Well, we both dislike the movie.
I'm not being cheap, but I mean, that's not the point of this. It's not like assign us a movie we're both going to love. That's not the point of this.
I know, but I can see if it was me for a podcast, if I assigned them a film and they both disliked it, I'd feel all of that.
Listen, if Matt, in between now and the next time he's up, has something that he would like us to watch, I'll let you know that he wants us to watch it. He can email me. I'm not trying to say, oh no, money wise, it's not fair.
Sounds like what
you're saying. But I'll weigh his, because I still get recommendations all the time, and my instinct is to say, yeah, you're not paying for us to watch this, so I'm not gonna.
Back in line.
Dude, I get like 4 or 5 movie recommendations via email a fucking day. It's just constant. Or like watch these clips and you know watch this, but
mostly from Gio.
A lot from Gio, yes. Like, one read this me. Article about
that's right.
The Fury. So, okay, that's that.
Yeah, I wish I liked this, but
not. All right, me. Let's talk about another challenging movie, Brian, which, go ahead, take it away.
Oh, Anderson and I had a conversation. You called me at a
kids, I called you from the hockey.
You called ring. Me at a kid's party, and I answered him, like, what's up? And he goes, hey, got the new Gaspar Noé film. Got the link.
Oh, you called me, actually. You called me back.
I called you back.
Yeah, yeah. I was at the hockey rink watching Atticus do hockey drills, which was fantastic. My favorite time of the week. And you were at a kid's party, and we were talking Gaspar Noé, which was pretty great. And I got a link for not his newest one, his newest. So Gaspar Noé, for those of you who.
Oh, this is not his latest?
Are not in the know.
He has another film out this year?
Yes. COVID. Gaspar Noé, as is the way that you say or to pronounce this Argentinian French man's name, I will always call him Gaspar Noé because I think it's more fitting for his style of filmmaking.
Challenging.
Very challenging. I first discovered him way back in 2000, 2001 with the movie Irreversible, which is infamous on this year program. Went back and watched his first one.
I have to tell you something. You discovered Irreversible after that because it was when I was screening calls for Loveline. You and the other engineer, the bald guy, I forgot his
Ken.
Name. Ken. Yeah. You guys, we're losing the Tania. Minds.
The Tania.
What?
The Tania.
What is the
Tania? That's what Ken and I would always talk. He's the guy that does the inappropriate things in the tunnel there. And
oh, yes, yes, yes. The tapeworm.
The tapeworm, yes.
You guys lost your
whatever
minds.
Year it came out. I saw it twice in the
lost
theaters.
Lost your minds.
Whatever year it
would have been like
out.
03, 04.
Are you really that late? Whatever
that's
year it
when
came
I was screening
out.
Calls.
2002 is when it came out.
It didn't come to the U.S. till 03.
You know what? I probably saw it, and then Ken probably caught up with it, like on VHS or DVD, and I probably implored him to watch it, and then he watched.
Actually,
it, and
be,
that's
that
what
be,
we talked
that
about.
Because
I saw it, because I that infamous story of me watching it both times in the theater, and just how insane it was. One of the craziest movie going experiences.
See,
ever
you
had.
Assigned that to me as punishment, and I found it very fascinating. That,
fascinating, but it's you got to endure. It. He's torturing.
Visceral.
He's that's torturing right. The audience.
Visceral experience. I actually did. Have a bit of a stomach ache in that opening scene.
With Irreversible?
With the sound.
Irreversible, yeah. It's the sound that, we've talked about all this before, but it's the sound that they use to break up riots. And he has it pumping in the opening of his movie. So he's made...
it makes you nauseous. And I'm sitting here watching this, and it's 28 seconds into the film. Like, I don't feel good.
So he makes a bunch of shorts, some of which I've seen involving felines and vaginas, as you'd imagine. He's unfortunately, he's a bit... sophomoric,
eccentric.
Even though he's most likely he's a visual genius for sure. He's not interested in making traditional films, And I've never seen him make anything, I don't think, close to a traditional film. He made a movie about love, which involves semen.
That's
on
called
the lens.
Irreversible.
Climax, which was a very good, interesting movie. I actually quite liked that one, which was about a dance troupe. What was the one? Enter the Void, yes, which is almost 100% POV to the point where you hear the eyes closing, open, and blinking, yes. And then a spirit dies, and then we follow that spirit in the afterlife through the world, and it's interesting. He made a lot of music videos. Anyways, Nick Cave music video. Anyways, he's got one out right now called Vortex, which I think is going to be my living hell. That might be where I say I'm not going to watch everything that Gaspar Noé does.
Why at this point? What could it be?
Because it's 2.5 hours of
is
old
it
people.
Animal torture?
2.5 hours of old people just in their apartment. And I already saw that with Amore, and that's one of my least favorite movies I've ever seen. And not for it being a bad movie. It's just a movie that forced me to be in a place that I don't want to be until I have to be there.
The father. Huh? It could be a version of The Father, which we both liked.
Gaspar knows Vortex? No, it's not going to be The Father, Brian. You know who's in it, though?
Who?
Dario Argento.
He's alive?
Yeah. Oh, he's shit. 80-something, but he's one of the guys. God, it's just the runtime really scares me. 2 hours, 22 minutes of two old people, and it's Gaspar. No!
If I ever get a win again in this game, like I was saying.
That. All that aside, we're not talking about any of those movies. What we're talking about is Lux Aeterna, which is a very short feature film that came out. 2019 is when it did its festival run. It was at Cannes.
It's playing in theaters here. You can see it at the...
right now it is?
Yeah, what's the music hall? The
Lemley Musical.
Is it not Lemley? It's something else.
It's a Lemley Musical.
Oh.
So... I guess it's going to be available on VOD. So I'm like, you know what? I thought you were seeing the dinosaur movie. I'm like, let's watch a shorter, interesting.
You pitched me. You'll like it. It's only an hour. Turns out it's 51 minutes.
Yeah.
You could probably skip the last 15.
Maybe 8, where it just kind of becomes redundant.
This is a light show.
So interestingly enough, this movie is also about witches to a degree, and it's about feminism, and it could be misinterpreted as misogyny, I think. Why? What? Oh, you're in. That's right, because the ongoing joke. It stars two actresses, Patrice Dahl. I'm not familiar with her work.
Mm-hmm. Beatrice.
I've seen her in a couple things. I saw her at a Denis Claire film. I hope I'm saying her name right. French director, Vincent Gallo, and her starred in a movie from some time ago. I've seen her in a couple things, but I didn't really recognize her as well as I did Charlotte Gainsborough, who of course is her in Antichrist, and Abby Lee is also in this. And Brian, would you like to try and describe this movie?
This is a 55% of Rotten Tomatoes.
That seems really low.
51 minutes. And this does star Beatrice and Charlotte. Beatrice and Charlotte. Yes. In the film.
Well, I mean, they're playing themselves.
So the movie opens with a slideshow of medieval torture devices.
Yeah. I mean, this is not looking to churn your stomach. Well, it's not like fire extinguisher to the head type stuff. It's not body horror stuff.
It's much
stuff.
More subtle than that.
And it opens up, I don't know if Gaspar Noé gets like his jollies and he is epileptic and maybe he really believes one of the quotes that we see early in the movie, which is the bit about right before a seizure is the most, euphoric moment in anyone's existence. So he's always trying to induce seizures.
Back to martyrs.
Which is kind of sad because I'm sure...
Is that his explicit goal?
Not as explicit,
it's a title
but it's
card.
One of the top five, probably. He's trying to, from the get-go with this movie and with most of his movie, he has things in there that will cause seizures. And it's sad because I'm sure there's some epileptics out there that would appreciate his work, but they can't fucking watch it. I wonder if there's special Gaspar Noé glasses you can watch.
Oh, yeah, anti-seizure glasses. Yeah. It's good. Or medication.
It's unfortunate. So
imagine explaining that to your doctor.
I need Gaspar pills.
So this is right. This is on the cusp. It's pushing and it's probably going over into pretentious often in this movie. A lot of quotes from other filmmakers and artists talking about filmmakers and how they have a great responsibility to.
Well, they are playing filmmakers and actors and actresses on this. Like they're basically on the set of a movie they're making about witches, I guess, a coven of, or witches being burned at the stake.
Yes.
That's the through line for the 40 minutes it's happening.
And they explore, and Charlotte, is it Charlotte?
It is.
She's an actress, and she's supposed to be a director of this movie that she's in. So she's directing a movie. She's on set talking to... Beatrice is the director. And some of the shit that I've kind of brought up, which I'm still not sure if I'm going to be right. I just feel like there are boxes being ticked, and some of these studios are saying, well, she's a woman, so let's give her a shot to direct. And that's kind of explored in this story here. And she's not, Beatrice is not getting a fair shot, because the men on the set are saying she's just an actress. She shouldn't be directing this. And we never really get a chance to see if she's capable or not to direct.
It's neither here nor there.
In the first 10-15 minutes after getting the lecture about the medieval torture devices, we see Beatrice and Charlotte just kind of talking about life, and it's good. It grounds them as characters. We get an idea of who they are.
It's a very, the movie goes through several iterations of like format almost, you know what I mean? Like there's the static shot of them.
It's very slow.
But then the camera starts to move, and there's crazy shit.
And it starts, it's supposed to be ramping up, right? Ramping up into this insanity, which it gets there, I think. So,
but like Anderson said, it does start with them talking, Charlotte and Beatrice, which, talking about movies, talking about acting, talking about directing. And it comes to be that they're basically like behind the scenes of an actual movie set.
Yeah, they're almost like in the green room. They're on a movie set, and they're just kind of like in between. They should probably be rehearsing or whatever.
But and I guess, we should probably point out that the framing was interesting, and in that it was like, if you've seen the documentary Woodstock, it was two square frames next to each other so as to form a full like widescreen.
Which was interesting because they were in the same spot. So one of the frames was just a fireplace, right? Which, you know, had some subtext.
Well, no, they're each in the frame.
Yeah. Well, no, at times there's like a good 3 minutes where it's just the fireplaces in the, on the right side its own frame. And then we see the two women talking, but he continues to use these two frames, at times three frames. And there's multiple conversations. By the time it starts ramping up and the shit's hitting the fan and they're on the set, and there's an American douchebag there who's pitching his project to these actresses. And it's just,
I'm actually going to make my own film.
So cringy. And you can feel the chaos, and it felt, not that I've spent a lot of time on set, but directing is like, Avery, you were there for Cult of Corona. Like, I couldn't get 15 feet without having, like, I'm not kidding, probably three or four people approach me with questions. Yeah. It's just absolute chaos. You're racing against the time. And Beatrice was dealing with all these men who were, you know, against her and trying to like get her fired, right? Which we see. And there's French conversations happening. There's American, English conversations happening. And they're happening. I did so much rewinding, trying to keep up. And not that I needed to, like I could still get the gist, but I didn't want to like miss because I'm a little OCD. So I did a lot of rewinding. This was, turned out to be like an hour and a half, hour, 40 minute movie for me.
Can I blow your mind by telling you something?
You like this.
For the vast majority of the film, I liked this.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
It's an experience movie, right?
And it is experience, and it's well crafted, if I can say that. Like it has a almost a kind of an artistry in the way it was showing certain things, and you could follow certain conversations at one time.
I'm so glad to hear this.
Yeah, I liked it.
I think it's my favorite movie of his since either Climax or Irreversible, or I liked Into the Void too. But yeah, this is one of my favorite. I was anticipating not liking this at all, and I think it really gave a good idea to a viewer of just how chaotic things can get on a set.
And of course, Gaspar can't help, but Gaspar himself, by the end, I'm convinced he's trying to alienate the audience. Like he's trying to like drive people away. It's like, oh, you like that, huh? How about this?
Yeah, I felt nauseous watching that too.
It wasn't fun.
No, I mean, the audio and the RBG. This movie could have been called RBG because it was just red, blue, green, red, blue, green, red, blue, green. You got to see it to see what we're talking about. They used a lot of back screen LED technology for the actual movie within the movie with the women on the crosses, and it was all very pretentious because they're modern day witches wearing sunglasses and scantily clad with Charlotte right there in the middle. But then there's some malfunctions with this LED program, and it becomes a lot of RBG for a very long period.
Protracted.
Before that though, there's this genius little bit where Charlotte goes into a morgue that's part of the set with a torso in there underneath the sheet while she's talking to the nanny about her daughter, her very young daughter. And something horrific comes up about a kid at school carving a cross on her fufu. And now Charlotte's dealing with that. And she's trying to get to the bottom of it, but she can't because the nanny is like, you want me to do what? Undress her. And then Charlotte's being called to set. And that like sets the clock almost. And like, you're more tense. It was genius to throw that in there in the middle of all this other chaos. It really added a layer.
So if you're going to dive into this 51-minute film, keep in mind that the opening is what it is. Then there's a protracted conversation between these two, and then it kind of kicks in, and there's like half an hour of like good stuff.
Yeah, I'd say good stuff. Yeah, yeah. Effective stuff. Frustrating stuff, but you're never bored. Like you're engaged, no, right?
I was, that's a great word for it. I was engaged.
I'm glad. And I've heard that it's even more so if you see it in the theater. I've read some things where people saw it in the theater and then they watched it since it's come out in other parts of the world, and it's not nearly experienced like so many movies. So if you have a chance and you're really, really a cinephile, if you haven't already seen this one, go take a or if you've never heard of Casper Noe until right now and you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you're trying to break up with them, Demand to go see this.
What do you think the percentage of the audience, be it at home or in theater, who kept their eyes open on the screen for the last 10 minutes?
5.
Yeah. Pretty rough.
I mean, I didn't close it and I didn't completely avert my gaze, but there were times where I was looking, because I watched on my computer, I was looking at the keyboard. Yeah. I was feeling nauseous.
I had to kind of avert my gaze as well.
I was feeling very sick.
To my phone.
And I was afraid I was going to be to your phone. I was afraid I was going to be sick for the rest of the day, because that happens sometimes. Like I go on a fucking ride or something and I'm like sick for like half the afternoon, and I would have been so mad at myself.
Doing this?
Yeah. So I tried to shield myself. I was better 5 minutes after it was over.
Lux Aeterna,
which is also the name of the song, one of the pieces in 2001, as well as it's credited with the Requiem for a Dream song. The do 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 do. They call that Lux Aeterna, so it shares the name.
Can you sing some more of it?
I don't like doing that, but it is what it is. It is what it is.
It is.
Tenebral Lux.
Paul Schrader, Tenebral Lux.
All right. Is that it? No, it's not.
No, it's not. You have no. To say.
I have to just, if you have not watched The Boys yet, guys, it's halfway through season 3. I think there's only 21 or 22 that have aired. This is some of the best satire I have seen. It is superhero related, but I am completely on board.
You love superhero material.
Most people know what Boys is about, right? Just in case you don't, Seth Rogen is one of the people behind it. I don't know what you feel, but I really like Seth Rogen. I think he's very funny, and he's got a very, very twisted dark side to him, obviously. And so the people that are part of The Boys from a creative standpoint. The Boys takes a good, long, hard look at absolute power and what it would be like if you actually did have superhuman strength. And it starts with a character named Homelander, who is a bastardized version of Superman. And
so is Captain America. No,
it's much more Superman than Captain America.
I thought you described him otherwise.
There's actually a new character called Soldier Boy this season who is definitely Captain America. But it involves supers and non-supers who are vigilantes trying to take care of these evil supers, but most of the general public has no idea that these supers are actually superheroes, are actually not what they appear in media because of the branding and all of that shit that goes into our everyday culture today. They're really like with all these corporations, you know, acting woke and, you know, just flying these fucking flags, but they really don't give a shit. That is a completely, deeply exposed in The Boys, and it's just so much fun and it is so fucking gory. But here's a testament to how great it is my wife hates gore. Like if anyone, you know, like breaks a nail or something and there's blood, she like looks away. She's fucking hanging with this, and it's, let me just give you a little,
give me a taste.
All right, so it opens up. The very first thing you see in the very first episode, the thing that kicks off the entire storyline is Huey, who is Quaid's and Meg Ryan's son, right? Okay.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son is Huey.
Okay.
And in real life, and he's an actor and he's very good. And he's got a girlfriend and he's in love with her, and you know, he's kissing her, and she's standing on the street and he's holding her hands, and like they're, I think he's about to like propose to her very soon or something, and it's very sweet. And all of a sudden, like you hear some, it's been a little while since I've seen, you hear some sound and something happens. It's like a burst of blood and whatnot. And he's just holding her hands. Her hands have been disembodied from the rest of her body. They're just cut off, her forearms up to her elbows. And then he realizes that a superhero had one of the top superheroes in the world had run through her, A-Train. He's a very fast runner. And
sure.
He does that sometimes, and he's not very careful where he's running. He's kind of like Quicksilver. And he just ran right through her, and he just destroyed her immediately.
Demolished her.
And he's like, oh, sorry, my bad. But he's such a big, powerful guy. It doesn't really matter. He keeps going. And now Huey's like, oh, my God. And he ends up hooking up with Butcher. And this season, we're four episodes in, Brian. The first episode of season three, we see a new super. The supers are everywhere in this world too. They're everywhere, and the storyline's very good. Even though this season they're kind of just saying what the fuck, you know who the characters are. Let's just have them do crazy shit together. But there's a superhero, not even a hero. He's just a super named Termite. Like Ant-Man, he makes himself very small. Mm-hmm. He's a gay man. He's in a gay relationship, and he's also doing a lot of cocaine at this party. He's a bit of an asshole. And he and his boyfriend go in his private room, and they're doing a bunch of coke. Mm-hmm. And his boyfriend says, oh, I want you inside of me. So Termite gets really, really small. And now we see a POV shot of this giant dick. Mm-hmm. And he starts crawling inside of the guy's pee hole. Oh, yeah. And it had already been established earlier that he sneezed. So he's got a little something going on from doing so much coke, the Termite, I guess. And he's in there. And now we're inside the urethra, and we can see the fucking walls and everything. And he's like, oh, and he's like, and he starts going deeper. He's like looking for his prostate. And then he sneezes.
Oh, no.
And he just becomes big like Ant-Man does. And it is very gory. And it's the entire insides of the guy are just ripped apart. And the guy's just laying there, dead torso, twitching and whatnot. It's very realistic stuff, too. And then it becomes hilarious right after that. This show is fucking great. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. I love this show.
I got to dive in now.
The Boys.
Which episode has the urethra?
It's the first episode one of season three.
Okay.
Season three, episode one.
Good. Writing that down.
Why is that so important to you?
I have a friend who probably would like that.
Okay. Is this like going to sexually excite you?
I don't know. Me. No.
The turns. No. Butcher is fucking fantastic too. If you're watching and you know what I'm saying, Evening Cunts was fucking amazing. Like, oh, so good.
He's gonna yell that in my house.
Evening Cunts. Evening. Yeah, Butcher's he's an Australian actor, I believe. Maybe.
Is it Carl Urban?
Yeah.
Carl Urban, Dredd.
Yeah, but I don't know Dredd. You know what I mean? I don't know Dredd.
You know Dredd. You like Dredd.
I barely remember Dredd. It's just a great redemption. I was like, okay, I wish I was watching.
Yeah, it's fucking sweet.
Mm. I just wish that I was watching. Carl Urban, who I don't really know other than from this.
What? He was fucking Bones in Star Trek. Carl Urban's a pretty well-known
actor. I don't fucking watch that.
Lord of the Rings, too.
Oh, yeah, he was Lord of the Rings. That's the one thing.
He's a pretty well-known actor.
Yeah, but not from the stuff that I watch. Doom. Yeah, I don't watch Doom. You know what I mean? He's in a bunch of stuff that I haven't seen.
You saw at least one Star Trek movie, right?
I don't remember him in it. Mm. Yeah, I loved the Star Trek. So what did he do?
He was the Doctor.
He was,
He's Diamond not memorable.
Jim, Doctor. Did,
Butcher is like the role that he was born for. He's fucking, he's got this over the top delivery that just works. I don't know how he keeps it up, but it just works. All of it, it's just so hammy, but it works. I believe it's Evening Cunts is what he says. So, and then it's just on, Brian. That's when they're in Russia.
Oh, I love it.
Enjoy.
I may have to watch this for Carl Urban.
I got some friends out there who have not watched this, The Boys, and it's like right up their alley. Hey, you got to watch The Boys. It's no Succession. It's no Patriot, but it's The Boys.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode of The Film Vault.
I bitch about, long-form TV shows, but this is one of the ones that pays off, and it's not just stretchy stuff out. And it's offensive, too. Like, I love Marine Creature so much, and Deep is one of the seven. He's one of he's supposed to be like the Avengers. The
Aquaman type.
Yeah, and he's just a horrible little rapey cunt, but he talks to all the sea creatures, and they're always fucking with that and making him eat them and stuff. And he has like sexual relationships with some of them and gets caught. It's so good, guys. It's so good.
Thank you to Matt Rixner for signing us Suspiria. Matt, we appreciate your support of the show very much. Suspiria is my special.
Matt, you know what? Email Brian. He'll watch him another movie that maybe you'd like him to watch. Huh?
I will not do that.
You're the one who offered it.
So assign us a movie. Mock Puppet is our featured
artist. He's Scourge in Thor Ragnarok, too. I don't know who that is, but he's Scourge. You guys know this?
Okay. All right.
He's I'm talking about the, Carl Urban.
One of the guys. Mock Puppet is our feature artist. You're listening to them right now. Check them out at AndersonBryan.com. AndersonBryan.com is where we go for our Amazon banner that sits atop the site. You can tap that right there and do your shopping. We appreciate you for doing that. Anderson and Bryan is the Instagram handle, The Film Vault on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you to everyone who makes this show go. Talking about Gio, talking about Jordan Wolf, Mitch Burns, and Mike Cole. Hey, we got any gigs coming up?
No, the one that I got coming up Thursday sold out.
Oh, no tickets available. Fuck you guys if we're waiting.
Interesting. All right. Is that it? I don't know.
That's all I got.
Change. You hear my voice is cracking.
Oh, coming up later in the week, top five mouth-watering beer scenes.
Yes.
With beer being drunk.
Oh, we're going to drink some beers. Yeah, courtesy of Brian McCauley, who sent them over. And he sends the best care packages, just filled with booze. Love it.
We'll get into that in a couple of days, unless you're a Patreon member. You can get that right now. Until then,
we do it for Mango. Far from the top, it's where I try. You be bad, bad from the bottom again. Whoa, back on top, top from the bottom again. Whoa, back to back.